Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 13, 44. Chapter title, The Behavior of a Perfect Person. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. A learned, thoughtful person must realize that material existence is illusion. This is possible only by self-realization. A self-realized person who has actually seen the truth should retire from all material activities being situated in self-realization. Please repeat. A learned, thoughtful person. Srila Prabhupada's purport. By an analytical study of the entire constitution of the body, one can surely come to the conclusion that the soul is different from all the material constituents, namely earth, water, fire, and air. Thus, the difference between the body and the soul can be realized by a person who is thoughtful, manishi, or muni. And after this realization of the individual spirit soul, one can very easily understand the supreme spirit soul. If one thus realizes that the individual soul is subordinate to the supreme spirit soul, he achieves self-realization, as explained in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. There are two souls within the body. The body is called Ketra, and there are two Ketra-gyas, or occupants of the body, namely the super soul, or Paramatma, and the individual soul, the Atma. The super soul and the individual soul are like two birds sitting on the same tree. The tree is the material body. One bird, the individual bird, or the forgetful bird, or the Atma, is eating the fruit of the tree, not caring for the instructions of the other bird, which is only a witness to the activities of the first bird, who is his friend. When the forgetful bird comes to understand the supreme friend who is always with him and trying to give him guidance in different bodies, he takes shelter at the lotus feet of that supreme bird. As explained in the yoga process, dhyana vastita tadgatena manasapashyantiyam yogina. When one actually becomes a perfect yogi by meditation, pashyantiyam, he can see the supreme friend and surrender unto him. This is the beginning of bhakti yoga, or actual life in Krishna consciousness. Om anjana timrandasya garanjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shivasadi gaur bhaktavrinda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare hare vancha kalpa dhruvyascha kripa sindhu bhayeva cha patitanam bhavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. Narada Muni is very carefully and wonderfully explaining the history of his self-realization to his disciple, Prahlad Maharaj. And in this verse, Narada Muni is explaining that if one is a Muni, a thoughtful person, he will understand that life is meant for God realization. It's a very matter-of-fact statement. He's saying that a learned man must realize this world is illusion. And when he realizes that this world is illusion, he should give it up. Give up the negative life of illusion and live in the positive life of truth. The positive life of truth is the service of the absolute truth. The service of the absolute truth in the highest realization is bhakti. The service of the supreme personality of Godhead. And Godhead has different aspects. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaneti, Shabhyate. But Narada Muni is explaining that one should come to this platform. However, we see in Kali Yuga that we are in a great minority. There are only a handful of Munis sitting here. But yet, in this very same area, 5,000 years ago, only a few hours north of here, which is only a matter of minutes, there were many Munis sitting. And there was a speaker. And there was a subject. The subject was self-realization, Atma-tattva. The speaker was Shukadev Goswami. And the listeners were principally Parikshit Maharaj and the 60,000 sages, the 60,000 Munis who gathered there to hear from Shukamuni as he spoke the Bhagavatam, as Narada is speaking to an audience of one. He's speaking to Prahlad. So only a few years ago, even in Kali Yuga, there were so many thoughtful men. But the symptom of Kali Yuga is, as Padma Purana explains, Kalo Shudra Sambhava. Sambhava. The people in Kali Yuga, the Indian people, the European people, the American people, the Chinese people, they are Kalo Shudra Sambhava. They have the bhav, they have the nature of Shudras. What does Shudra mean? Shudra means tamogun, covered with tamo. Tamo means ignorance. Ignorance means no thoughtfulness. One cannot discriminate, no intelligence. So this is the pervading characteristic of Kali Yuga, that the entire age of Kali Yuga is full of fool number one. Fools number one. Unlimited, 5 billion. So therefore, we can see that when the message of Shukadev Goswami or the message of Vyasadeva is spoken in this same area in Delhi, because a few hours, you can only gather 60 sages. You can only find 60 thoughtful men and ladies. In this audience there are 60, not 60,000. So Kali Yuga is such that there is all-pervading ignorance, which means that in the name of so-called what Prabhupada explained, he said, in the name of ignorance, the propagation of ignorance is accepted as the advancement of civilization. Propagation means the spreading, the disseminating, the distribution. In Kali Yuga, there is massive distribution of ignorance in the name of, quote, advanced civilization. Ignorance means I am the body. I'm Indian. Be Indian, buy Indian. Be American, buy American. Nationalism. This is body knowledge. So big institutions, big universities, big schools, they're simply disseminating ignorance. Because they're keeping people in this bodily concept of life. So therefore, the universities and the educational systems, they're very nicely and very perfectly reinforcing the concept of Kalo Shudra Sambhava. Keeping everybody in the nature of Shudras. Because a Shudra cannot ask the question, who am I? A Shudra can never ask the question, what is the meaning of life? But a Muni does. A Muni is an intelligent person. Where do you find intelligent persons? You find intelligent persons long ago in Satyayuga. Satyayuga is the age of light, truth. Kaliyuga is the age of darkness, ignorance. You see? These are two sides. One side is light, the other side is darkness. In the Satyayuga, you have light and truth. In the Kaliyuga, you have darkness and ignorance. In the name of advancement of civilization. But the sages of Satyayuga, the people of Satyayuga, the ladies of Satyayuga, the men of Satyayuga, they were all munis, paramahamsas, thoughtful, very deep thinkers. Yes, this world is maya. This world is illusion. I am not of this world. And this body is not me. I am beyond this body. I am the Atma. I am the soul. Therefore, let me endeavor for self-realization. So it's called Kritya, Kritya Yoga, Kritya Yuga. It's the age of where they worked. They acted in such a way to get liberation. That is Satyayuga. But now, in this age, people think, I am the body. It's the me generation. Let me work for my body. And the bodies of my wife and children, and the body of my nation. And the purpose of life is to enjoy this body. There's no idea of liberation. You take 1,000 men of the world, you take 10,000 men, you take 100,000 men, you say, what is your idea of life? You're an so-called intelligent man, highly decorated with a long tail. You know, some dogs have a short tail, some dogs have a long tail. So you have a very long tail, BS, MBS, PhD, XYZ, chairman, chancellor, this thing, that thing, dean, principal, big tail. So you ask one lack of these type of people, what is your idea? You're recognized, you're honored and distinguished as an intelligent man of this Kali Yuga. You're a modern muni. What we call in our scriptures a muni, an intelligent person, a thoughtful person. You're a muni. All Professor Katosky. And when Prabhupada, our Gurudev, went to Russia, he met a big muni, a Russian muni. Not only in India, the munis, the Russian munis, Indian munis. He said, oh, Muni Maharaj. Oh, Muni Maharaj. Oh, Muni Katashki is one Russian professor, chairman of the Indology department, long, long tail. He said, oh Maharaj, oh Muni Maharaj, what is your identity? Who are you? Our Gurudevi asked this great Muni, this great thinker of the modern world, this great professor, leader of an entire university, a chairman of a whole department, thousands of shishyas, so many shishyas he has. What is your? Who are you? I'm a Russian. I'm this body. Acha. And what is the purpose of life, Muni Maharaj? Then Professor Katasi. Purpose of life is to enjoy. Ahara nidra maitun bayum. Is there more? I never thought. I have no idea. I can't think that way. This is Kali Yuga. No brains. Everyone is puggle, fool, stupid. No one asks questions. So Narada Muni, he's telling Prahlad Maharaj, don't be a fool like your father. Be intelligent, realize what is actually your identity, and then give this world up. This world is illusion. So this is the thoughtful man. So that's why people sometimes ask, oh, so few people are joining your movement. And Prabhupada says, yes, there are not so many swan-like men. In the Satyayuga, people are called Paramahamsa. Paramahamsas. Paramahamsa means very pure-minded, very pure souls. And in this Kali Yuga, there's all crows. Everyone's crows, just eating some refuse, some garbage. The crow is black, right? And Kali, in the Satyuga, it is white age, it is white, golden age. This is the black age. So many crows everywhere, you can't find a swan. So everyone is crow-like, reading crow-like literature, magazines, novels, newspapers, engaged in crow-like activities. This is great difficult. So unfortunately, we also become infected. We are devotees. We're on the path of swan life. We are endeavoring to become paramahamsas. We are endeavoring to become pure, realized devotees of the Lord, illuminated with full knowledge, pure knowledge, servants of the absolute truth, decorated with all the qualities of saintly persons, and possessing hearts that are softened by surrender and swelling with the emotions of spiritual love and compassion, which is expressed towards our mood of preaching towards others and helping benefit the fallen souls of this age. This is our life. It's our destiny, our goal. We're working for this accomplishment. But unfortunately, we also become infected by the illusion of Kali Yuga. So thick is the illusion that I am this body, that I am the enjoyer. Everywhere you look, everything you hear, everyone you see, and any feelings you have, the sense of touch, not that you have to touch a materialist, but you're touching his vibration by walking in this world. You're touching the vibration of this Kali Yuga, this Sambhav, this Tamo Sambhav, this ignorance is all pervading. So wherever you look, whatever you feel, we're getting infected with this ignorance, which makes us forget. We forget our identity. When you forget your identity, you lose the discrimination. You lose the power of discriminating of what is spiritual life, what is material life. Krishna explains very clearly in Bhagavad Gita, Dayato Vishayam Pumsam. He says, by contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment. From attachment, one gets lust. When attachment increases, becomes lust. And when lust is impeded, or when lust is frustrated, or not fulfilled, one becomes frustrated, becomes disappointed, becomes angry. And when there's anger, anger fills you with clouds. It covers you. Forgetfulness, brahma, brahm, illusion. From anger comes this delusion. You forget, and then you, intelligence, buddhi nashat. Krishna says, buddhi nashat. Nasha means destroyed. Intelligence destroyed, what does it mean? Intelligence destroyed means you lose your wisdom. You lose your ability to discriminate. So this can happen to any devotee living in this Kali Yuga. He can lose his ability to discriminate. He can lose his ability to discriminate what is right for me, what is wrong for me. What is my service to Guru, and what is my illusion or service to Maya. So this is the devotee has to always be thoughtful. Not that our thoughtfulness brought us to the lotus feet of Guru, and we surrendered. Now thinking stops. Now no longer thinking. A thoughtful person is always considering many aspects. So Narada Muni is explaining the characteristics of a thoughtful person. He realizes that I'm not this body. I am spirit soul. And he realizes that this world is not for me. This world is temporary. It is illusion. It is full of suffering. And he understands that I should, and he realizes that I should endeavor for a better position. I should endeavor or try for liberation, improvement, absolute, total improvement of my position as a soul in this world. I should realize God. This he's telling, Narada Muni's telling. So everyone, as a devotee, they have this realization, they have this thought, this idea comes. They think, oh. Then Krishna directs them to Guru. this by Sukriti, by pious activities, one gets these spiritual thoughts. He gets real intelligence. He comes to Guru, then he surrenders, and his faith increases, and he performs service. But this activity of thinking should never stop. We're hearing Prabhupada telling us, a thoughtful man is always considering. Always considering. Not, I was thinking, and my thinking brought me to Krishna, now I don't think anymore. A thoughtful man is always thinking, where have I come? Where have I come from? Where was I before? What was I doing? How was I feeling? What was my consciousness? Now, he thinks, where am I now? What am I doing now? Why am I doing? And then he thinks, where am I going? So a thoughtful man, an intelligent man, a muni, and all of us are meant to be intelligent, is always considering, day by day, where have I been? Where am I? Where am I going? And then, when he analyzes the present activities that he's engaged in, the performance of bhakti, hearing, chanting, remembering, praying, worshipping deities, he will analyze in this thoughtful process according to a system which is given in the material world. He'll analyze by asking questions. And he'll ask, there are six questions that a person will use, a thoughtful person. He will ask, who, what, when, where, why, and how. In other words, if we approach someone who's performing bhakti, and we say, Krishna Das, why are you chanting Hare Krishna? Oh, I don't know. They say it's good for you. This person is a fool. It's Krishna Das. Krishna Das, how do you chant Hare Krishna? What is the proper method? I don't know. What will chanting Hare Krishna do for you? What is the purpose of it? What is the benefit? You follow? What? How? Why? Oh, I don't know. This is fool number one. So devotees are not meant to be fools number one, two, three. This is a reminder. Narada Muni, he's saying to Prahlad, Prahlad, don't be fool number one. Be thoughtful. And this is a culmination of thoughtfulness, is self-realization, detachment from this world. So he's reminding us, because Narada Muni is speaking to Prahlad, are we not following the footsteps of Prahlad? He's in the Shantaras. We haven't even approached the rays of the threshold of Shantaras. What to speak of something higher? So he is our exemplar. He is our acharya, Prahlad Maharaj. And Narada is reminding him, oh, Prahlad, are you being thoughtful? Are you thinking? Are you using your brain? Are you being a fool, a robot, a machine? Are you just automatically, mechanistically chanting? Like you ask some devotees, how are you? Oh, Maharaj, I'm just chanting mechanically. We met someone the other day. Are you chanting? Oh, yes, I'm chanting 20 rounds. They're very quick. I'm chanting 20 rounds. Acha. And then he said, some honesty is there. Person said, but Maharaj, it's all mechanical. I said, why? And then some discussion. So, this verse is speaking to us. Are we dull? Are we stupid? Are we foolish? No. You're the Paramahamsas. You're the Paramahamsas of Kali Yuga. Maybe some black feathers outside, but white feathers coming inside. Some crow's feathers are still on us outside, but inside the white feathers are coming out. It's like when birds grow their feathers, there's a little baby feathers and there's a heavy feathers. They drop the old baby ones and get the heavy ones. So we're dropping our crow's feathers and we're trying out our white feathers, pure feathers. So we should not be, we should be this thoughtful, thoughtful. Then from thinking, which is a function of the mind, one gets knowledge. When one is thoughtful. And when one gets knowledge, one gets vigyan. One gets realization and inspiration to go very far in the path of bhakti. But a dull-minded person who just goes day by day mechanically, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Samsara, Sri Guru, Haribo. Apply the mind. Turn on the mind. But in this way, take anything you do. Tilak. Oh, I'm putting on tilak. What is this? What is tilak? Why am I wearing tilak? How do I wear tilak? Is there a system? Is there a proper way, an improper way? What is the purpose of it? All these things. Everything. Then one gets very fixed and firm foundation of bhakti. He's acting in knowledge. And Krishna explains to Arjuna that one who acts in knowledge, he gets the full result. And very quickly. So let us not be fools. Narada is saying, don't be a fool. Oh, just because you're a grihastha. Oh, only sannyasis are supposed to think. Only sannyasis think. Grihasthas don't think. Brahmacharis don't think. Only the guru thinks. Only the guru thinks and we do whatever he says. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. No, Prabhupada said he wants a society of thoughtful men. A Brahmin is a thoughtful man. Broad-minded, broad intelligence. So Narada Muni is giving us a nice reminder. Hey, wake up! You've been a devotee for 5 years, for 10 years. You don't even know why you're putting on tilak. If you meet someone, you don't have to... Of course, the preachers, those who preach, actually preach. I mean, confronting someone in illusion and trying to bring them to Krishna consciousness. Illuminating someone with spiritual philosophy. Someone's preaching like that. He will confront so many questions. Oh, excuse me, sir. Why are you wearing that tilak? Then you have to think. Preaching forces you to think. Because people ask you so many questions, which you're so dull that you never ask yourself. So if you're not an active preacher confronting so many questions, you ask the questions yourself. According to the system I gave, you ask these 6 questions yourself. Preach to yourself. Do you think you don't need preaching to? You think you're liberated? You think you're full of prema? You don't require any preaching? You must preach to yourself every day. When you wake up, Mangalartik, I don't feel like going. Oh, really? Have a dialogue with yourself. Oh, well, what is Mangalartik? Why do we go? How? What should you do there? Who's there? Who's in Mangalartik? Is anybody important there? Is there any purpose for going there? What is the benefit? Is there anything good for me? Why do I do it? Start from the time you open your eyes. Why I'm waking up now, and we're told to offer obeisances when we wake up. Obeisances to Guru, to Krishna, to Bhumi Mata, to so many personalities. Pray for the mercy of Vaishnavas. Remember all the wonderful Vaishnavas. And then we begin in this humble way. When a materialist wakes up, he jumps out of bed and he jumps out of bed and throws his arms out to the side. Okay, let's go. Another day, I'm ready to tackle the world, take on the world. So a materialist has a little bit different concept. A devotee rises from sleep and he immediately offers his ashtanga dandavats or his pranams. Before he even gets up from the ground, he's offering obeisances to the ground that's supporting him. And the guru who's supporting him. And the Vaishnavas who's supporting him. And he offers obeisances to the holy name which is inspiring him and supporting him. He doesn't jump out, oh, here I am, let's go, conquer the world. Turn on the radio, what's the TV, what's the news? Joop, 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 boop, boop, boop. Oh, 6 a.m. news, acha. Dainya, devotee is humble. So, this nice reminder from Narada Muni, he's telling, oh dear devotee, oh dear Mataji, oh dear Sannyasi, oh dear Brahmachari, oh dear Grihastha, please start thinking, and don't stop thinking, and always think deeply and deeply. The more deeply you think about all the limbs of bhakti, the more you realize it. And when you perform sadhana bhakti with realization, very quickly you get the goal of bhakti. But if you go 1 year, and 2 year, and 5 years, dull-minded, stupid-minded, robotic, automatic, and then you ask, then after 20 years, you say, oh, Maharaj, I've been chanting for 20 years and nothing's happened. Because you've been sleeping for 20 years, you nonsense. Your 20 years is 20 minutes. Sleeping through everything. It's not nobody's fault but yours, because you're so lazy. Manda samanda matiyo. The character, everyone in Kali Yuga is lazy bum. We say in English, bum. I don't know. He's a bum. Bum means he's. If you say something else, bum bum bole. If we're worshipping Mahadev, you say bum bum bole, Shankar Bhagavan. But in English, at least, we have this colloquial expression, or what we say, slang expression, is someone is worthless, useless, foolish, stupid, doesn't think. He's a bum. B-U-M, bum. But we want to be munis and devotees, thoughtful. The Vaishnava, the devotee of Krishna, he's the most thoughtful man. He's the greatest muni in the entire universe. Because he realizes a paratattva, not some less tattva. The highest truth he's realizing, he's serving it. He's surrendered to that highest truth. He's realizing it. He's distributing it. This is the greatest muni. So you may not think, I'm me. I'm only Krishna Das. I'm Radha Dasi. Me a muni? I have no long beard, and I don't have any long hair, and I don't have 10, 20 rings on my hands. I don't have any crystal necklace. I don't have any Rudraksha beads. And I don't have a big ashram. And flowing silk garments and gold chains. I don't have any of that thing. How can I be a muni? I'm just a little sari, you know. My husband buys me a 300 rupee sari, and I have a dhoti, and I have no beard, I have no hair. Me a muni? Yes! Be a muni. Be thoughtful. Be intelligent. Then you will overcome all the difficulties in life. Because if one sincerely tries to be intelligent, all we have to do is try. Just be sincere to try to be intelligent. Try to be thoughtful. Try to ask these questions. We hear a class. Well, okay, I'll take notes. Let me ask these questions about everything I do. Who, what, when, where, why, how? Let me be a little sincere. And if we try, all we can do is try, because we're so weak and we're so lazy. But if we try, then we have a great friend, as mentioned in the purport. The two birds and the tree, right? The Atma and Paramatma. So that great friend is Krishna. And he sees a little sincerity. Sincerity is the ray of love. If you love someone, then you're sincere in your behavior. So it is a ray. So Krishna tells that if you try to be sincere, you try to be intelligent. And you might say, well, how can I try it? I'm not intelligent. I'm a fool. How can I try? I'm born a fool. I'm born in this Kali. I'm a Shudra. I have no intelligence. How can I be intelligent? Well, you try. And already the proof is, you've already shown the existence of intelligence because you've surrendered on some level, to some degree, to Guru and Krishna. So everyone, we will recognize and give certification. Everyone in this room is a muni, a thoughtful. So if you try to be a little intelligent about the performance of bhakti, then what happens? Tesham satata yuktanam. Bhajatam priti purvakam. This priti purvakam is your trying, is your sincerity. Tadami buddhiyogam tam. Yenamam upyantite. Krishna says, buddhi tadami, not buddhi nashat. He also says buddhi nashat. He said, if you just act like a fool, like a donkey, like an ass, and just try to enjoy this world, then Krishna says, buddhi nashat. I destroy your intelligence, and you lose everything. But if you're a little sincere about your action in this world, and you try to actually apply yourself, it's called application. We have theoretical knowledge and applied knowledge. Practical knowledge and realized knowledge. So we are performing theoretical bhakti. That's why Prabhupada explains in the last line of the purport. He says, when one actually becomes a perfect yogi, by meditation, he can see the supreme friend, Krishna, and surrender to him. This is the beginning of bhakti yoga, or actual life in Krishna consciousness. So, Krishna's a great friend. And he will buddhi dadami, he will give that intelligence. by which you can upayanti, come to Him for once and for all, and never return to this world of buddhi-nashat. He won't destroy your intelligence anymore. But if you act foolishly, dayatovashyangpunsam, and you contemplate the objects of the senses, seeing, feeling, touching, then you, Krishna says, all right, you want to do that, you want to go towards maya, then buddhi-nashat. I destroy your intelligence, your spiritual life is finished. But if you priti purvakam, if you show some priti, some love for me, some sincerity towards me, then buddhi dadami. I will preserve ananyas chintyanto mam ye jana prayupashate tesham nitya byuktanam yoga kshemam bahamyam. I will preserve your buddhi. I will purify your buddhi. I will expand your buddhi, and I will answer all your questions from within. So our position as devotees, aspiring devotees, is to try to be intelligent. If we try to be intelligent about the performance of bhakti, then Krishna will give us the intelligence to understand what is bhakti. He will give us the intelligence to understand how to perform bhakti purely, how to chant purely, how to serve purely, how to surrender absolutely and totally. Because on our own we'd have nothing. But with this great friend, if we make an alliance with this great friend known as Krishna, Dinabandhu, he is Dinabandhu. He is a friend of the fallen. Who's more a fallen than the residents of Kali Yuga? Manda Samanda Matyo. Slow, stupid. Vyas Muni, Shukadeva is explaining in first canto, what are the characteristics? Manda Samanda Matyo, Upadrata, Abhagya. The residents of Kali Yuga are stupid and slow and lazy and foolish, and they're not, no bhagya. And they're upadruta. They're always disturbed. They're always full of anxiety. So that is our nature. But if we make alliance with Dinabandhu, that's our Dina. That is our Dina. Our Dina means fallen. That is our fallen nature, outlined in the first canto of Bhagavatam. But if we make a bandhu, make a bond, make a friendship, make an alliance with this friend of the poor, he will give us what we need, because intelligence is your greatest friend. Niti Shastra Chanaka explains, when one is traveling, when one is traveling far from his home, away from the shelter and protection of family and mother and friends and society, knowledge is his only friend. Chanaka is telling, knowledge is our only friend. So if you make friends with Krishna, then he will give you buddhi. Buddhi means knowledge, wisdom, how to act properly and purely and perfectly in Krishna consciousness. These are some ideas from this verse. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.